It was the 16th.
17th.
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 Right back there in the calendar.
Yeah.
November.
It is. Friday.
November 17th, 1989, in Duck, West Virginia, at Clyde Case's farm. Okay, just forget about that now. And you started to tell about your English ancestors?
The way I get it, there was two brothers named Case, and they arrived in the fort in Virginia in, I don't know, some the late 1600s, sometimes 16 or early 1700s. And they stayed there a while, and they separated, and one of them went to Pennsylvania, and the other one went west somewhere. And that was the last we ever knew of him. But since there ain't very many Cases, you travel around very much, the name Case, you don't run across very many of them. And I wonder if this G.I. Case Thrashing Machine Company ain't got something to do with it. Anyway, there's a Case Cutlery Company in Pennsylvania that makes good knives, W.R. Case Cutlery Company. And I wrote him a letter one time and told him that I'd like to know something about their forebears, we might be related. And they sent me a great big, thick bunch of stuff on their family, And while there is no way to actually tell, but there's first names that just keep coming over and over and over and over again, a dozen times way back, William or Andrew or different names just kept coming over and over and over, right on down through. Well, we have a Case reunion up at the dam on them shelters every year. I've been having it, and there's one of my cousins had married a woman from Mountain High, and she got interested in it, and so here a while back she sent me a whole bunch of stuff that she'd gathered up. My great-grandfather lived up in Webster County, and she had things where he paid taxes, tax receipts, and things where he paid taxes back in the 1800s. Uh-huh. Well, I know my father was the oldest one of the family, and my grandfather Case, he was a soldier in the Civil War. And he got all shot up. He didn't die from his wound, but he died later from the effects of his wounds. They lived out beyond the town, out in what they call the Glades. You probably heard tell of the Glades. They lived at a farm out there. And he got real sick, and my grandmother and my father put him in a buggy and started to Sutton with him. There was a clinic. A man had a hospital at Sutton. Well, they stopped, they got real bad sick, and they knowed some people that lived over up above Birch River on that road from Birch River to Cannon up through there. And they stopped to stay all night there, and he died. And they buried him there on the farm. I've been to his cemetery, to his grave, the cemetery where he's buried there. They buried on this farm. And I can't think of the name of the people right now.
Hoover?
Hoover. Hoover. Probably was Hoover. Sounds right. But anyway, my father used to tell me some tales about things that happened. He told me one time about some man up there was a great hunter, and he had a dog. He went out hunting one day, and they got into a fight with a bear, and he shot the bear with an old mountain rifle, and the bear attacked him, and they had to go around, and he finally killed the bear with a knife, but the bear hurt him so bad that he couldn't do anything. And he tied an old bloody rag about around his dog's neck and sent the dog home. Told the dog to go home. And the dog went home, and of course they knew there was something wrong, and they gathered up some people and come back hunting for him. And they found him, he's way up on top of a mountain. And he wanted a drink of water, and they didn't have nothing to carry water in, and some fella took one of his boots off and went down the creek and got his boots full of water and brought him a drink of water. Well, they got him home, and of course he got, well, my dad, he told me that. And later, when I was working on a job up there at Camp Caesar, and the contractor was from down in Charleston country there somewhere, and his people had all come from that country. And he had a book, somebody had published a book of all the things that happened up around there, a great big thick book, hardcover book. And he had one of them, and he insisted he brought it up there and insisted me to take it home and read it. And I took it home and read it, and lo and behold, that same story was in that book. It was told for the truth, what I mean, told as the truth. But anyway, the Case brothers, one of them went to someplace in Pennsylvania, and he married, and eventually they come to Webster and Nicholas County. When they moved to Webster and Nicholas County. And he married Clayton, a woman by the name of Clayton. And my mother was a face mower. And her people come from Bavaria. The original people come from Bavaria. And they also, when they come to the country, they also come to Nicholas County. She was born in Nicholas County. And she married a Hoover, he married a Hoover. And she was Dutch, and my mother's grandmother taught her to count in Dutch. She could count in the Dutch language. But my grandfather Case, he married an Irish woman. Her name was McGarry, Mary Ellen McGarry. So you can see I'm kind of mixed up. And I've heard that the face mowers, that there was a strain of gypsy in them too from somewhere. I don't know for sure, but they're supposed to be mixed up with the gypsies somewhere. But the original Case family come from England. And I've been around different towns, and I always get the telephone book and see if there's any cases. And any place that I've ever seen any cases, there's always related to me. Only I saw out in Morgantown, there was a case in the telephone book that I never heard of or don't know anything about. But down around Charleston, the cases in the telephone book are related to me in different places that I've seen. The fact of the matter is, the case name is not a very, very common name. You don't run across them very much.
I'm trying to think of something you told me one time about, has something to do with the log house over in in the Birch River country. And a man coming through there with some oxen. Now, was that the face miners or?
Yeah, I imagine it was.
I'm trying to think. He told me one time about them either coming into that country or leaving that country.
Mm-hmm. When the cases come here, they come from, well, I think Like I say, they'd lived in Pennsylvania, but they'd scattered out as they began to get married and get more cases. They scattered out, but the case belongs to my family. They come from Rockingham County, Virginia, into the Birch River country up there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know just exactly where, but it come into the Birch River country somewhere.
Were your people, didn't you have some blacksmiths? Was your father?
Yeah, my grandfather was a famous blacksmith. Okay. I've heard it said that, you know, you used to have a thrash machine that was horse powered. Mm-hmm. It had a sweep like a cane mill, and as it went around, there was a great big long shaft went from there to the thrash box called a tumbling shaft. The horses stepped over it, you know, as they went around. Mm-hmm. As they went around, this gear turned this shaft, and the shaft turned the machine. Well, this shaft broke. There was a thrashing somewhere, and this shaft broke. And they was all upset. It'd take months to get a piece for it. And somebody said, now my great-grandfather, my grandfather, was named W.W., William Washington Case. But my great-grandfather was named Butler Case. My father was named after him. He was named Butler Case. And they got him, and he got some furs to help him, and they took that shaft to his blacksmith shop, and they got a welding heat on it, and he had him to lay it down on the anvil, and a man on each end up, and what they call jump it together.
Uh-huh.
They hit it. See, they couldn't draw it out and weld it together. It had to be the same length. It had to be a certain length. So they got a welding heat on it and just jumped it together and just smoothed the weld over. I've heard that my father told me that. And my father was a blacksmith. He could make anything in the shop. But the oddest thing, he couldn't do a bit of carpentry. He could not drive a nail left to hang his hat on without bending it. And he'd make a hog trough and it wouldn't sit down straight. And all like that. But he'd go in a blacksmith shop and he could upset an axe or sharpen a mattock or a plow or weld a chain link or make just about anything he needed. Tow a horseshoe. We shod our own horses. I shod horses ever since I was 12 years old.
Yeah? You ever get any mean ones?
Oh, boy. There used to be a blacksmith shop up at Survey, and they had stalks. Some people had them so mean they couldn't shoe them at all. They put them in these stalks and put belts on them and wound them up and picked them up off the ground. And then they'd passing their legs back to shoe. I never did have any of that mean, but I've had them pretty mean. You know, it's odd, shoeing the front feet of a horse, that ain't anything, but now you've been shoeing that hind foot, and you get that nail through there, and if you don't do something right quick with that horse dirt, you're in trouble,
yeah.
Bad trouble. See, that nail goes through there, and it kind of turns out, and it's sharp.
Uh-huh.
It'll ruin you.
You wouldn't want to sing a little of that rickety-rackety, nickety-nackety.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great if you would.
I'll play a little bit if you want me to.
That would be good.
Are you running there, Bob?
Yeah.
I married my wife in the month of June, nickety nackety now, 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 and I carted her home by the light of the moon, nickety nackety knee, John Dafferty, Wilderty, Wallety, Rusty, Cook Wallety, nickety nackety now, now, now. She only weighed 300 pounds, nickety nackety now, now, now. Before we got home, the cart broke down. Nickety, nackety, knee, John Dapperty, Willity, Wallity, Rusty, Co-Quality, nickety, nackety, now, now, now. The saddle and bridle, it hangs on the shelf. Nickety, nickety, now, now, now. If you want any more, you can sing it yourself. Nickety, nickety, need John Dapper, T. Willet, T. Wallet, T. Reticle quality. Nickety, nickety, now, now, now.
That's great. You got another one?
I might sing a little bit of Woe Muley Woe. I am the owner of a mule, the funniest mule in town. The ring bone and the spavin, both of his eyes are blind. He can kick a fly off his left ear and never would stand still. I'm gonna have a match for him if it costs a dollar bill. Woe, muley, woe, why don't you hear me holler? Tie a rail to that mule's tail and he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the track? Why don't you let him go? Cause every time I start that mule, it's woe, muley, woe. I took my girl out for a ride, the mule begin to balk. He threw that girl out in the mud and spoiled her Sunday frock. The girl, she said she'd get revenge and stoop to get a break. That mule let loose with both hind feet, and oh, that girl was sick. I put her on my shoulder, and I carried her to bed. I put a poultice on her feet and one upon her head. I called for the doctor to come right quick, and she was very low. And everything that girl could say was, whoa, muley, whoa.
That's great. Do you know where you learned that one? Is that just sitting around the piano?
I've known that ever since I knowed anything. I've heard that ever since I was, can remember anything at all.
It's a good song.
This little old silly things like that. That's what we sung as kids.
So would your mom teach you that or would your dad teach you that?
No, my dad and mother both sung, they were both singers, but other kids teach you that.
Really?
Yeah.
Just your friends?
Mm-hmm. You'd be around, you know, it's different from what it is now. People don't go to see each other. When I was growing up, there wasn't a Sunday, that there wasn't a dozen people there, or we were somewhere else. People just gather up together, you know. Lots of them. Play all kind of games, sing all kind of songs. They just don't do it anymore. They just absolutely don't do it anymore.
Would that revolve a lot around church, going up to church on Sunday?
Now, back at that time, there wasn't any church in this vicinity. We had church in the schoolhouse, and there's preachers come through every so often to preach, you know. And in the summertime, we had Sunday school. But the church was built, the first church was built down here in 1922, I believe it was.
Did you you have a singing school teacher come through? Is that how you learned to shape notes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back at that time, there's different teachers come through, maybe three or four or five in my lifetime would come through, and the people would make up a school. I mean, people had kids they wanted to teach to sing, they'd put in $2, $5, or whatever it was, and they make up $20 or $25, and the fellow would teach 10 lessons of music, teach shape notes. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, we're talking about the shape note deal. Is that fella ever coming from far outfit?
Did he ever come?
Yeah, you said there's one coming up every once in a while. Oh, and you know, they had the last book I had that's called that Shape, S-H-A-P-E-D, Shape Notes. It kept saying Shape Notes and Shape Notes. And I couldn't tell take it any longer, so I wrote a letter and told him it was never shape notes any more than it was rounded notes. It was always shape notes or round notes. And I never did hear from him.
show about that old banjo?
Yeah.
Okay, where is it still?
Did you have any family ever get up to Ohio
that
you know of?
Lit right across there. Yeah, I've got some different people.
We've got some real good family friends cases in Columbus.
Yeah. Can you remember their first name?
First, Butch.
Well, the name don't sound right, but I've got the different people in Ohio. All kind of cousins and...
Did you take a picture in your
pocket? No, ma'am. I'll just take it like that.
Flying?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you sure you don't want some, Gary?
Yeah. I wasn't figuring on it. Is that for Clyde?
No, it's all right.
I've got another one for him and Yendra. I've got another one. My tray wouldn't hold.
Well, I'll just...
Well, if you don't want it, I'll...
Boy, that's a nice old banjo.
Now, that there was bought in a pawn shop down in Georgia in 1917.
Really?
Clyde, why don't you sit down there and just tell them the whole story about that?
Okay.
Man. There's a lot to it.
I'll do that. There's a boy down here next to Villanova. He was in the Army. And he was stationed down in Georgia, and he was kind of, you know, like things like that. So he bought this banjo in a pawn shop. And he brought it home, and he had a couple of brothers, he traded them, left and went someplace else, you know. And it was all beat up, and I traded off them. I got the banjo off them, and when I got it, it had a flower poke head in it, the flower sack head. I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about or not, but it used to be flour would come in a 25-pound bag. It was real tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was paper, but it was real tough. And somebody took a flower poke and made a head in it. Well, when I got it, my dad had sheep, and he'd butcher whenever once in a while, and he'd kill the lamb. I'd pick a lamb skin and made a head put in it. Well, it was too soft. It wasn't good at all. Then next, I killed a groundhog, and we'd make a shoestring out of groundhog hide. I put a groundhog hide head in it. Well, eventually, somewhere over here, got wet and then dried up and burst, you know. Well, back in 1930 sometime, 30 or 32, I ordered a calf skin head from Sears Roebuck. And I put a calf skin head in it. But when I got it, these here frets down here were gone, these last five frets. Well, I cut up an old brass flashlight. Made them frets there. And this thing up here they call the nut where this goes across, it was all tore up, and we had dehorned a 3-year-old heifer, had a great big long horn, and I cut the tip off one of the horns and made that. And this here brace right there, my mother hung it up one time and the spring broke and it fell down and broke this thing here. And I made that brace. That brace made out of the whistle of an old locomotive that went in Elk River down here. See, this railroad was built up Elk River along in the 1900s, about 1902 or 3 or somewhere along there. Anyway, the locomotive went in the river. And I don't know where they got it out of the river or when, but anyway, before they got it out, people got stuff off of it. And my father, there used to be a man down there, had a blacksmith shop named Tom Scott. And he bought his blacksmith shop, and that old whistle was among the junk that you know in the blacksmith shop. And I made that brace there, and this here end piece here, I made that out of it. Well, that thing right there, when I had the part we're putting together, I was afraid this sure thing would bust that. And I had an old 1926 model Star automobile that tore up, and that there was the end off of the speedometer cable. The speedometer cable, it fit on there pretty nicely, and that I put on there. That's what it is. Well, Jerry got coming over here, and we got to fiddling around banjos, and so So I discovered up in Sutton they sold heads. So I went up, I took it all apart and I went up there and bought my head and put a new head in it. I'll have to play it a little bit and get my hands limbered up for it probably.
Those cases for you, and I'll write you a letter about them. But they're good family friends. We've known them for a long, long time. And maybe they're related.
Well, Father, if you can do it, if you can do your.
Well, that's another reason I know I'm an Englishman.